As I shared earlier, we're in the book of Deuteronomy, and the parashat is called Re'eh, R-E-E-H. And it says in English, see, that's Re'eh, see, but that see there is not it's an emphatic see. That's why the vowels are a little different. It's not present tense, but it's present future tense. Re'eh, see. I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Okay? A bracha ve'kalala. The blessing, if you listen, that's not just hear with the ears, but the word there is tishma, which is the future tense of shma. Tishma is the future tense of shma, which means to prove that you listened by doing what was said. That's what it means. To the mitzvot of Adonai your God that I am commanding you today. Verse 28. But the curse, if you do not listen, if you do not tishma, okay, to the mitzvot of Adonai your God, but turn from the way I'm commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known. In general, this word shma, which the future tense is tishma, shma, is an irreducible minimum. It's an irreducible minimum. Yeshua said, when confronted and asked, what is a great commandment? Okay? So, he's being asked, well, there's 10, so what do you mean? I mean, we would say in Christianity, there's 10. Actually, there's way more than that. But in any case, we would expect that, well, is he going to pick one? But he actually doesn't quote the Ten Commandments. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And I shared last week that there's a break in Deuteronomy. The first part of Deuteronomy, he makes a summary of what's happened up to this point, including the re-reciting of the 10 words, the 10 commandments. But when it reaches chapter 6, there is a definite preamble, and now it changes. And the first words out of Moses' mouth in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 is Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. In that particular verse, whether you like it or not, whether you understand the Hebraic mindset or not, is exactly what Yeshua quoted. You've heard, he told them, you have heard what is written. Shema Israel Adonai, he didn't speak Spanish or English, okay? Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Okay? But then he goes on and says, and the second is likened to the first one, right? And it quotes from Leviticus 19, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In these two commands, Yeshua says, Shema, Israel, he could have quoted, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your strength. Because those are taken together. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheinu. So those are in the same context. He quoted from Deuteronomy, which was his habit. Seems to have a habit of quoting from there. Yeshua did. He quoted it to Satan 3 times. Those were the silver bullets. Okay? First he shot a silver bullet. Man shall not live by bread alone. And he shot a second silver bullet, and when the guy didn't get it, he took a gold bullet and slew him. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, get out. You're done. You cannot get to a point where there's any idolatry that is not tolerated. Our God is a jealous God. That means that he's jealous for our worship. He's jealous for us to call him God And he does not tolerate another God. There are not many. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. There's only one. And the first commandment, the first word is really not a commandment. The first word, if you read carefully, don't just listen to what Christianity says, and not just, especially don't listen to what is comes from the Bible, from the Catholic Church, because they don't like the idols one. They just don't, and so they take that out, and they replace the first one with a ve'ahavta, but that's not what it said. The ve'ahavta is not in Exodus 20. What it says, the first word, the first commandment, the first important thing, Ani Adonai Elohecha. I am the Lord your God. There is no am in Hebrew. It's understood. Ani Elohai Elohei Adonai Elohecha. I am the Lord your God. That's the first. Actually, that's the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. You know, we got the others too, but let's get the first one straight. Say it with me. Ani Adonai Elohecha. I am the Lord your God. Period. The first, the important one. We have been harping on that, so to speak, in the last few messages. Shema, therefore, is an irreducible minimum. Because Yeshua said, you can boil down all of Torah, and it boils down to the irreducible, cannot be changed minimum. That's what that means. And that, you must get that. You know, I didn't say that Yeshua did. I get it from Deuteronomy. I already got it. I get it from the Torah. But when the Messiah says the same thing, it carries a little bit more weight, huh? It's just kind of like, oh, okay. Unfortunately, the addition of the ve'ahavta, okay, to that becomes then the emphasis. And it leaves the Shema part. I'm not sure that's correct, okay? I would say that's probably dangerous. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Got it. But the first part is Ani Adonai Elohecha. The first one is Shema Israel. The whole nation needs to, you need to clean your ears, get the wax out. Shema Israel. What is it that we are supposed to get inside? Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Elohecha. The same construction. Adonai Echad. Echad means one. A composite one, but one nonetheless. In other words, there is none another. There is no sharing. The Father doesn't share with the Son, who doesn't share with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you want me to explain that, and I'm not going to today. But Yeshua said in what we read today before the service, that I have come not, look, we want to say, I've come to redeem the world. Of course, he knows that. He could have said that. But before redeeming the world, I have come to do my Father's will. That's what he said, okay? We read it today. I have come to do my Father's will. And he also reiterates that, so who's seen the Father? He reiterates John's words by saying, the one that comes from heaven is the one that has seen the Father. I am the bread of life that came from heaven. You got manna over there, but I'm the real bread of life. And he who partakes of me and so on will have eternal life. So as I've already said this, tonight begins the month of Elul, the month of repentance. And this parasha is called Re'eh. Re'eh comes from Resh Aleph Hey, which is the verb Ro'eh, one of the fundamental verbs that you must learn when you take Hebrew. Ro'eh means to see. Actually, Re'eh, because it's not Ro'eh or Ra'ah, Re'eh contains a little more than seeing. So catch this. Re'eh includes seeing, beholding, and taking a closer look. Seeing, beholding, and taking a closer look. That's encapsulated in that one verb. It deals with the choices in a life that is to be devoted to Adonai. And Adonai says that those choices ultimately bring life or death. Kid yourself not. Don't water it down. Don't water it down, because there's a tendency to focus on Yeshua, the lover, Yeshua who came to give his life, and the statement about the Father so loved the world. And it's okay to understand that he's love, but he's not love exclusively. He's also all mercy. He's all judgment. He is righteous all the way. So we must keep that in balance, that our choices bring life or death. The apostle, or the brother of Yeshua, said that by our words, our tongue brings life and death. In the gospel, it says that you can choose to speak life, or you can choose to speak death. But I've come to give life and life more abundant. In this section of the Torah, we're severely warned against idolatry. This is all about idolatry. The big one. The big one is idolatry. That's the one that Satan was guilty of. Pride that led to idolatry. Look at me. I need to be equal to you. Sorry, there is no equal. There's no equal to him. In his various forms, this parashat gives us instructions about idolatry, but it also reminds us again what food we may or may not partake of. It reminds us about the Shemitah year. Did you know that this is a Shemitah year? Did you know? Did you forget that I said that some time ago? And I haven't continued to say it. This is a Shemitah year. It's divisible by seven. Some people start the year in the first month, in the month of the Aviv. And some people start last year at Tishri. Whether you started at Tishri or you started at Aviv, Yom Kippur is the declaration of the blowing of the shofar of freedom. My friends, if you know anything about Jonathan Cahn, if you read his book, The Shemitah, or any of those things, let me just tell you again, this is a Shemitah year. And there is a proclamation of freedom, not the freedom, the global freedom of the Yovel on the 50th year, after seven Shemitah are complete. But it's still Shemitah year. That, I think that prophetically has a tremendous amount of significance. And I agree with Revitson that there is a going on in the country, in the world. It's been like that anyway, but it's more so because this is Shemitah year. What are we going to be set free of? What are you going to be set free of? Oh, okay. And then we also reminded about the Moadim today. Every time that I come to the Torah portion, the Ruach prompts me to remind you guys that there are no changes in Adonai's expectation towards us. He is not changing his mind. He doesn't want to be his place to be shared with nobody. That's still him. And I would caution us, therefore, that we must deliberately pause, or so you don't get a ticket, come to a complete stop. Stephen, the bus has to stop. And the Lord showed Stephen mercy because they could have flunked him on the spot on his exam. And then he got it and he started doing it, and the person was, there was favor on his life. There was mercy and favor. And he came to complete stops when he was taking his exam. I caution you to take a closer look. That's what it re'eh means. Take a closer look at the choices that are before us. We can either still today choose life. Okay? Choose the blessing and life. Or by default, if we do not choose blessing and life, then we're not tishma. And we don't tishma, we're choosing cursing and death. I want to ask the question, do you need a reminder? Do I need a reminder? Obviously, there is, because there's a reminder thing in here. And it happens to be a big one. As I prepared today, it was once as if Adonai was asking me, Rabbi, Tony, have you taken a closer look? He doesn't call me Rabbi. He calls me Tony. Okay? As I read over the parashah in preparation for this message, I found many reminders. So here's things to remind us. I've already done some of that, but here it is in the message. Tonight at sunset, 7:58 p.m. tonight, starts the month of Elul. And that begins the preparation for the high holidays. Do you remember this other scripture? 3 times a year, all you males are to appear before Adonai your God in the place that he chooses. In the feast of Matzot, in the feast of Shavuot, and in the feast of Sukkot. That does not sound like a suggestion. No one should appear before Adonai empty-handed. The gift of each man's hand, according to the blessing Adonai your God has given you. That's in Deuteronomy 16:16-17, which is next week's parashah. King David said, I will not offer burnt offerings to Adonai, my God, that costs me nothing. It's a good reminder. Because we tend to want to give the Lord leftovers. And I think he doesn't really want leftovers. He wants the first. Do you remember, especially all males? In other words, it's not optional. All of you males must show up during Sukkot. You can say, by extension, it includes Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. But if you want to be a legalist, you know, well, what you said, Sukkot. Well, that's the one nobody goes to. That's the one that's not really celebrated in Judaism. But that's the one that you're required to attend. And it's 8 days. So how much of the 8 days are you wanting, Lord? Let him answer that question for you. Adonai has given you and I free moral agency. Therefore, the decisions are up to you and I. And you have the power to choose the blessing, and you have the power to choose the curse. That's free moral agency. You can make the decision. He just lays it before you, and you choose. In today's believing world, the idea of God allowing us to be cursed is foreign. Just try to tell that to people. And if you do say it, and you point out, they say, oh, yeah, that's in the Old Testament. That's done away with. Okay. Let me not say to you that it is no way done away with. You've got to listen to what Yeshua said from the Bible and not from the pastor. Yeshua said many, many times. He said in one time, I have not come to do away, destroy. In other ways, put aside Torah, the law. He said that. Okay? So let me again remind you that we're cautioned to take a closer look. In the closer look, it's involved with the word Shema. To Shema is to live. And not to Shema is to die. That's what I read in the beginning of the parashat. Both the name of today's message and its content were given to me on Thursday around 1:20 p.m. I was returning from a lunch meeting with the Kol Simcha elders. Let me illustrate what happens. I love real things. That's what I was about. Okay? So let me put it here. Hey Siri. Text Marilyn Arroyo.
What do you want to say?
On my way.
Your message to Marilyn says, on my way. Send it?
Yes.
Done.
Did you hear that? Do you hear that part? Done. I love it. I was driving. I was on 55th, turning from the mess that University Avenue is in the Newbury Road. And I turned on 55th because the light turned ahead of me. I go, oh, well, I'm going over there. And I'm on 55th, minding my own business, enjoying the fact that there's not that many people on 55th. And I get a reminder, hey, text Marilyn, let her know you're coming. So I didn't pick up the phone because my car has, you know, Apple Play and Apple. So I said, holding on to the wheel, what I just said here. Hey Siri, text Marilyn Arroyo. Just in case she can understand, she wants to do it again. On my way. On my way.
Your message to Marilyn says, my way. Send it?
Yes.
Done.
The done came as I was approaching 16th, 23rd Boulevard. And immediately, instantaneously, the Holy Spirit downloaded this to me. And he said to me, would my people be as precise about following me and doing what I've asked as Siri was? Here's what happened to me. When she says done, I relaxed. Okay, I'm not going to show up and catch her by surprise or any such thing. I'm going to be, you know, this is our agreement when we're coming home that we have done this for 43 years. We didn't used to have a Siri or iPhones, but wherever I was, I would try to find a way to communicate to her through a regular phone, which has been around since then, and say, I'm headed home. And I would also ask, is there anything you need? Because if you live as far as I do, oh, that's a 1 hour and a half deal. If you can save, if she said, oh, we don't have any eggs or we don't have any milk for cereal, the kiddos would be upset if we don't have milk. And, you know, and I would gladly stop and get the milk. That's nothing compared to getting home and having to turn around and either go to La Crosse and pay double, which I'm not in that deal. Instead, I would drive to Gainesville. There was no Walmart. The closest store was 43rd. Okay? There was not the Publix on 39th either. That came much later. And there was a Winn-Dixie nearby, but I had this problem with Winn-Dixie. The yellow got me. I'd rather have the green and white and the no line. I love Publix because of that. I was driving, and I didn't even touch anything. I didn't stop driving. I didn't tinker with my phone. In other words, I was busy doing life. I was going along life, merrily, merrily, merrily going along life. And I used my voice. And evidently, Siri, Shema. Huh? Siri, Shema. What do you mean that she's Shema? Well, actually, the other day, my On My Way came out sounding One My Way. So she said, One My Way. You want to send it? I said, no. Well, what do you want to say? She said, On My Way. She repeats it to me. Make sure she understands. You want me to send to Marilyn Arroyo, not to Yahoo or whatever, specific, On My Way. I said, yes. I actually did it with a, yes. And when the done came, it nearly threw me out of the car. The Lord said, maybe he didn't say it, right? Maybe I'm a little crazy. The Holy Spirit quickened quickly. That's what I want you to talk about on Saturday. I want my people to be done people. I want my people to say to the Lord, to say to me, you know, make sure they understand what I said. That's okay to ask questions and, you know, let's get it right. But once it's right, do it and then say, done. I've done it. He's what he's looking for. What a beautiful and precise demonstration of what Adonai is looking from us. Let me say again, what Adonai is looking for from us is na'aseh v'nishma, to do and to shma, to prove that we heard by doing what it said, to demonstrate that we heard by performing his desires. But here's the part that he added to my teaching. Quickly. Just like Siri. Quickly. Yes. Done. You know, I didn't have to worry about did she get it, she not get it. I got home and she was waiting for me with smiling and all those things. I said, I didn't get to sneak up on you because I let you know. And you're smiling and all that. So I didn't just show up and catch you eating something you shouldn't or whatever, you know. I usually have other things to say too. You see, we should want to respond. We should want to respond to what he has said to us. What has he said to us? It's called his word. We should want to respond to his word with the simplest of responses. What is it? You know, in the most complicated things in life, I learned this at the university. The most complicated concepts in life, when they're studied and understood, and thoroughly understood, they're inherently simple. That's a truth, okay? They're inherently simple. The irreducible minimum of living for Adonai is to be able to respond to his word by saying, none. No ifs, no ands, no buts. And let me add to this without hesitation. Without hesitation. Our first and final response, once we are clear about what he has told us, is to be able to say, I want to be able to do that. Don't you? We want to say, Shabbat Shalom.